This is Ruth Weiner and Bess Perelitz interviewing Mr. Wertheimer on Monday, May 20th, 1997, at his home in the Atrium Apartments. Work that way. Mr. Wertheimer, my name is Bess Perelitz, and I'm from the Oral History of National Council of Jewish Women, and Mrs. Weiner, Ruth Weiner, is also from the Oral History. We are very happy to interview you today. We have several questions to ask you, and I'm sure that we will be thrilled with this interview. We'd like for you to tell us about your immediate family. Your family, and we understand that you came from North Side originally, and about living in the North Side, about where your family came from, how they settled there, what roles your parents and grandparents played in the North Side, and let's start from that area.
All right. My great-grandmother came over here in 1848 to Cincinnati, I believe, with eight children. She was a widow at that time with eight kids. They were grown. They came over from Wartenberg, Germany. She has passed away, obviously, and she is in the old Jewish cemetery in Troy Hill. The eight kids at that time formed the Guckenheimer Liquor Company, which was one of the large manufacturers of rye whiskey in those days, and the distillery was in Freeport, Pennsylvania. And my grandfather and several of his brothers were in the business. There was one brother, Emanuel Wertheimer, who was on city council here and very active.
Was that before Allegheny became Pittsburgh, or did he live in Pittsburgh itself?
Yeah, that was Allegheny City.
Allegheny City before it became Pittsburgh, yes.
I don't know. What
well, that's, no.
But my father lived on Western Avenue with Samuel Wertheimer, who was my grandfather, and my dad went to the University of Pennsylvania Medical School, became a dermatologist, married my mother, Janet Clee Herzog, and whose parents were Joseph Clee and Matilda. Never knew either one of them, passed away before I was born. But my grandmother was around through the years, Tilly Clee Herzog. She lived with us. Then my mother and dad moved over to Ford's Cottages about 1917. I was born in 1919 in Ford's Cottages. Then we moved over to Bennington Avenue. My father passed away. I had 52 when we were living on Bennington Avenue, and since that time my mother and I moved to various houses.
So you didn't really live in the North Side then?
No, I never did.
Oh, okay. That's what we, one of the things we wanted to know.
No. You had mentioned some time ago that my grandfather was first president of Rhoda Shillam. I don't think that's true. He became the building chairman when they built the new Rhoda Shillam here on Fifth Avenue, but I don't believe he was ever president of the Rhoda Shillam congregation at all.
Emanuel was.
He was president. We mentioned Emanuel before. Mm-hmm. He was very active in a lot of things, and that was obviously my grandfather's brother. And the liquor company was disbanded when Prohibition came along. And as you see, I've got two bottles left that were given to me by somebody. And my mother has passed away, and then my wife Sima and I have four children. Wendy's the oldest, our son Josh, who his real name is Herbert III, our daughter Wendy, and our daughter Betsy. And they're all active, all in working, and my son is with Microsoft in Seattle.
This is Herbert?
Herbert, yeah.
Herbert III.
My daughter Wendy is with the National Institute of Health in Washington. My daughter Betsy is an attorney here in town. And my daughter Susan has our only three grandchildren and not working as a housewife, she is, and her husband is an attorney in Cleveland. That's where they live.
This lady is a friend of Doris, did you hear? Mm-hmm.
Married to?
Married to
Jerome Eiler.
But I know the door has these pictures.
Oh, how lovely.
One, two, three. Nice. That's about
all right.
History.
Can you remember, you knew your grandfather, who was Samuel. You didn't know your grandfather. They passed away before you were born. I wasn't quite sure of that.
Oh.
Do you know any stories about why they lived in the North Side? We're sort of interested in the family. The family resided, you said, on Western Avenue.
How did they get there?
How did they go to the North Side?
Well, in those days, the migration of all the Jewish families went to the North Side. There were many of them there, and good schools.
Yeah.
And, I have been called on a couple of occasions to come over to the North Side and see old houses that my family had been in. My grandfather on my mother's side, great-grandfather, was a builder, and he built a couple of row houses over there on the north side. So they all...
What street was that? Do you remember where they were built?
One block parallel over from Western, and I cannot remember the name of it.
I have that postcard. Remember
Lincoln Street, Lincoln Avenue? Was it Lincoln? I think there's a Lincoln Avenue in that area.
No, that was not it.
Well, it's not that.
I'll find it. I probably have it put away in this case.
No, I can't remember the name of it. And I pass it on occasions too, because I have a business account over there, but I can't remember the name of the street.
Sorry.
But all the Jewish families lived over there. There were just a whole group that migrated there in the early or the during the Civil War era. And my grandmother, Herzog, has mentioned more than once to all of us that she remembers seeing Lincoln on a train in Pittsburgh. I assume that was around 1865. That was her only connection with the past, but she lived into the 90s. And she was the only one of my grandparents that I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
The others had all passed away.
Tell us more about her.
What do you remember?
Well, what I can remember is that she lived with my mother and my father and me all those years until she was in her early 80s, and then she moved to Baltimore with my mother's sister, where she died probably about 5 years later. She spoke a little bit of German, and you know, in those days, as I read, the congregation was first started, and they did everything in German. And it was very Orthodox. In those days, it was Orthodox, from what I gather. And of course, it swung the other way when Rutherford came out here. But my father could speak a little bit of German, and it died out after the third generation, but all those people in those days spoke German.
You lived in Germany for a while.
Oh, you didn't live in, your father lives in Germany, is that what?
No.
Did you live in Germany?
No.
When your father went back to school, did they not live in Germany?
My father graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and went over to Vienna for a year or two in med school over there.
I see.
And then came back here and open up a practice in the old Westinghouse building downtown, which of course has since been torn down. He was one of the first dermatologists in the city of Pittsburgh, and I think there was one or two others, as I recall, a Dr. Hollander. And I think my dad and he were probably the only ones. My dad died at 52, so that was not too many years of practice that he had. I guess he practiced for 25 years.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I had a sister that died at the age of 3 from pneumonia. So I did not know her. And everybody's buried out in Westview. And the Wertheimers have a huge plot out there because there were, as I said, there were 8 brothers and sisters, and most of them are buried out there, not all of them. Now, my aunt that was Sally was married to my uncle, Morris Wertheimer, and they lived their entire married life in the Shenley Hotel.
Okay.
I can't imagine that, but they did, and they raised the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle Morris died, and my aunt Sal then remarried Morris Falk, whose wife Laura had died, and they were married a good number of years, and they had a house also in Florida. And you know, Morris Falk was a man of great wealth, and he said to me one day, if you come down and visit us in Florida, I'll give you a golf ball. So that was my inheritance from Morris Falk. But I didn't get to, maybe I did, I don't know. I don't remember what I ever got at all. But all of those people have passed away. There's nobody left of my immediate family except Edgar Wertheimer, who lives in South Bend, Indiana. And he's Edgar Wertheimer Jr. And one day I met relatives of mine, Rabbi Gunter Plaut. You might have heard his name. Well, he's no relation of mine, but his wife is a distant relative of mine. And she is compiling and has written a book just published on the family. She is really a genealogist who's gone over to Germany, Israel, really researched this thing from top to bottom, and she says she's sending me a book. But she calls me every now and then, do I know such and such, and do they have any children, and was this one born, when was that one born, and I really don't help her a heck of a lot. But my great-grandmother was a lady by the name of Bella Wormser. And
can you spell that for me?
W-O-R-M-S-E-R. There's a Wormser Bank in San Francisco, and somehow they're related. I don't know how. But she had a sister, Pauline Wormser, who married a Mr. Frank. And Mr. Frank's son became I.W. Frank, and they built Copperwell Steel Company. And the only remaining member there is Jimmy Frank, who is my umpteenth cousin. And Jimmy Frank has been very knowledgeable about history, too, if you haven't contacted him.
He's been already interviewed.
And
what was the name of their steel company?
Copperwell Steel Company. They were in Glassport, Pennsylvania, across the river. And that company is now, it was sold to some British capitalist, and it has since been sold again. I'll tell you who it was sold to. It was sold to one of the Rothschilds from England or France. But I know Jimmy worked there briefly a couple of years, but he hadn't been associated with Copperwell, and his brother and sister have since passed away, and Jim's the only one of his family that's still around that I remember. But all of my grandparents' children, there were eight of them, and obviously at this age they've all passed away, and really, there weren't too many kids. I was in the Army, and I was out in Oklahoma City, and one day somebody came up to me and said, "You have relatives in Oklahoma City." And I was very surprised. As a kid, you know, you don't really pay much attention to all the history. And I went and met these folks, and his name was Jesse Wertheimer Mack, M-A-C-K, and they had moved from Cincinnati, and they lived in Oklahoma City all their lives, and they were lovely people and had no children. And Jesse asked me after the war if I'd like to come out and go to work for him. He owned a company called the Oklahoma Paper Company, and I said, "It was a great opportunity, Jess, but my mother is a widow in Pittsburgh, and I'm the only one left." So I came back to Pittsburgh after the war.
I know you said you were born in 1919, but you didn't give us the exact date of your birthday.
June 17th.
Okay.
It's my grandson's birthday.
It's a good day. What about your own, your education yourself, where you went to school? Okay. You said you lived in Squirrel Hill in Bennington and so forth.
Yes.
And did you continue living in Squirrel Hill? Those kind of, let's bring it.
Start at the beginning.
Let's start at the beginning. You know.
Where were you born?
I was born on number 4 Forbes Cottage, which the cottage is on Forbes Avenue.
Yeah.
Down from the Jewish Community Center.
Right.
On the, almost down to
Whiteman,
correct. And then we moved to Bennington Avenue. It's 1451 Bennington. And I lived there until my father died in 1932, and we sold the house. And then we moved to various rental houses in the area there. And I went to school at Shadyside Academy until the seventh form, and then I went to Taylor Alderdice for all 4 of my years of high school. In those days, those were the Depression years. My mother took me out of Shadyside and put me in Taylor Alderdice, which wasn't bad. And then I went to the University of Pennsylvania 4 years.
And majored in?
I was in economics. I went to the Wharton School. I came out of Wharton and worked for a year for Mr. Carl Kaufman, who then was vice president of Gimbel's, I guess. And then I went into service for 5 years.
What service were you in?
And I was in the Air Force, and I was a photographic officer, both on the ground and in the airplanes. We took photographs and we processed photographs from airplanes and so forth. And I was in India for a year and then went over to the Philippines, Clark Air Base for a year, and then I came home to Pittsburgh. I was in service about 5 years. And then I decided that I didn't want to work in a department store, and I went to work for a brokerage firm in Pittsburgh, Singer, Dean & Scribner, which is still in downtown Pittsburgh under a different name. And I was with them 4 years. At that time, believe it or not, the brokerage business was very slow, very few shares, and all my friends had no money, and the older people didn't want to do business with a young kid. So I got out of that business. And Stanley Hahn was a friend of mine. He had gone to college with me also. And he said, why don't you go in the furniture business? That time, Pittsburgh was booming. Pittsburgh at that time, I guess, was in its glory years of the coal and the steel industry after World War II. Actually, up until 1979, coal and steel prospered in Pittsburgh, and then steel industry went down the chutes. But I went in the furniture industry and have been in it ever since, I guess, from 1950 to now is 47 years. And I have been a manufacturer's representative of a whole flock of companies through the years. For 34 years, I was with the furniture division of the Georgia Pacific Company, which is a large lumber company. And I was with the Lane Furniture Company, who you probably know from Cedar Chest and so forth. I was with them for a good number of years. And now I'm with some smaller companies at the present moment whose names you wouldn't recognize. And still active in the furniture industry, and really don't know when I want to retire. All my friends have retired. They want to know, why aren't you? But so far I've avoided that.
Speaking of furniture, we noticed the sofa that your wife told us.
That was my grandfather's.
Your grandfather's.
It was on Western Avenue. As I understand it, there were two of them. I haven't the slightest idea. Nobody knows where the second one is.
And your mother took it? Your parents took it to their home? Is that how you kept it? You were able to secure it?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely. It's been reupholstered a few times through the years. And that chest of drawers was my grandmother's. Mm-hmm. And a couple of rooms. Sure, this table was, and that table was, and I think that's about it. And my daughter has a chest of drawers in Washington, D.C. that she took down to Washington years ago. But this furniture has no relation to anything that I was in. I mean, it was the grandparents, and a lot of these other things. Where there's the silver and so forth, was all theirs.
You were the only grandchild then, from this, from Emmanuel, or were there, no, not Emmanuel, Samuel was your grandfather's name, wasn't it?
No, I was not, because my grandfather was Samuel Wertheimer, and he had,
Edgar, as you go through, I'll write down the names.
Edgar Wertheimer and Jean Wertheimer and myself were the only three grandchildren. Now, Edgar Wertheimer lives in South Bend, Indiana, and he's retired. My cousin Jean Wertheimer passed away. And she married Frank Oppenheimer, who also has passed away. And Frank Wertheimer was a member of a long, Frank Oppenheimer, I should say, was a member of a long line of Oppenheimers, and they operated Apollo Steel up in, where was Apollo Steel? I forget.
Apollo, PA. Apollo, yes. Somewhere in that area there.
Mm-hmm. And both Frank and Jean had passed away. Mm-hmm. And they had children, and one of them lives in California, and one of them lives...
Name?
Mary Ellen lives somewhere in Texas.
Well, now, Mary Ellen is my Edgar Wertheimer's
daughter.
And she lives in somewhere in Texas.
Excuse me one minute.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about other cousins, what about Richard Brown? His grandmother was your father's sister.
Wait a minute. You're going on the other side of the family now? If you want the other side of the family.
What other side? I'm speaking about the Wertheimer. Where was Richard Brown?
Come over here. On the other side of my family, the Herzog side of the family, there was my mother, and there was Eugene Herzog and Morton Herzog, and they were founders of Benswanger Haston Herzog. And my Aunt Della Herzog moved to Baltimore.
Della belonged to which one?
Pardon me?
Della was the wife of which one?
Della married a man by the name of Philip Hamburger, and they lived all their married life in Baltimore, Maryland. And they had one daughter, Jean, my first cousin, and Jean is 88 years old. My uncle Eugene has a daughter who lives here in Pittsburgh, and she is married.
Her name?
Virginia. And she's married to Alan Vatz, V-A-T-Z, who's retired.
Yes.
And Morton Herzog was married to Adele Guggenheimer. There was a little, you know, in those days there weren't too many families in Allegheny. They all intermarried. And Adele Guggenheimer's father was with the Guggenheimer Distillery too. His name was
Adele's father.
Well, we can.
I forgot. Anyway, they had one child, Morton Jr. And Morton Jr. And my Morton Sr. and Adele divorced, and she remarried again. And Morton Herzog Jr. changed his name when she remarried, and she married a man by the name of Al Lehman, L-E-H-M-A-N. Al Lehman at that time was president of the Ball and Ox Steel Company. So my cousin changed his name to Alan Lehman. And he is married to Jane Anathan. Jane Anathan's parents being
Bessie
Anathan and
Nathan. Was it Nathan?
What was his name?
Was it Nathan? I'm not sure.
Cy Anathan.
Who was the cutest person in that whole family?
Yeah, Bessie was a love.
Yes,
she was a grand lady.
Yeah.
And, well, that's as far as I can think. All these people in those days, as I've repeated once or twice, There weren't that many, and they all intermarried.
The families intermarried. They lived most of them in the north side?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, in Manchester District. Well, not in Manchester, no, that would be upper north side, near Ridge Avenue, in that area.
That's the street. You got it. Ridge Avenue. That's where Joseph Klee, my great-grandfather on my mother's side, built these row houses. And I was called one day by a caterer by the name of Iannotti.
Linda Iannotti.
Linda Iannotti, and she said, when I bought this place, I saw your names down at the registry downtown. Were you related? I said, yes. So my cousin Virginia and I, and my wife, Simone, went over, and she bought the house and redid the insides, put a beautiful big kitchen because she's in the catering business. And I took over a photograph of my mother, who had lived in that house,